둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. If you're not already, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 a week, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do consider giving the series a rating and a review if you like what you hear. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Thomas Lennon and Julia Stiles were both here to talk about the movie Chosen Family, as well as their incredible careers. Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring, Brian Ferry of Roxy Music, the cast of What's Inside on Netflix, Troy Sanders from Mastodon, Vernon Reed of A Living Color, St. Vincent, James Bay, Natasha Rothwell from How to Die Alone on Hulu, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a special Rewind episode. We're headed back to 2017 when Lindsey Buckingham dropped by. This was when Lindsey and the late, great Christy McVie got together for a duets album. Now, I think it was originally going to be a Fleetwood Mac record, and then, you know, it's Fleetwood Mac. So things don't happen the way they're supposed to. So Lindsey talks about how this evolved into a duet album that also featured every other member of Fleetwood Mac except Stevie Nicks. Mick's on here, John McVie's on here. Lindsey reflected on reconnecting with Christine, especially after her 15-year hiatus at that point, describing how their chemistry in the studio was really unexpectedly stronger than ever, leading them to embrace the project as this unique collaboration rather than what would have been a Fleetwood Mac album. He also shared insights into the creative process, emphasizing following his own artistic instincts, and hinted at things he wanted in the future, not just solo records and possible Fleetwood Mac tour plans, but also the potential of another album with Christine, which of course did not get to happen as Christine passed away in 2022. So that makes this a very bittersweet rewind, but it was such a pleasure and an honor to get to speak with Lindsey. So let's jump into it. A Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. It's great to talk to you. We're excited to get you guys back here in Louisville soon.
Oh, yeah. We're happy to be coming back.
I was thinking, you know, how amazing it is, and probably not lost on you, that, you know, to have a career this long and still be able to write these timeless songs that you guys are doing at this kind of level. Do you still find it easy to find a great hook to write a great song? And I'm obviously throwing some compliments in there as well.
Well, yeah, I think that in many ways it's gotten easier. Perhaps for me personally, the writing process has taken on a kind of an overall thing where it used to be, I guess the analogy would be a bit more like movie making, because you're coming in with a rough idea and then you're delegating out various aspects of it to your bandmates and all of that. A lot of times now when I write, it's more connected to the process of recording, and it becomes a bit more like painting. So, you know, you're kind of discovering as you're recording and as it's going along, and it becomes a slightly different discipline. But yeah, I think the key to continuing to be able to write effectively and to continue to grow as an artist is just to think of it in those terms and not try to, you know, necessarily live up to anybody's idea of what they think you should be. You know, just find yourself continually engaged in what you find to be meaningful and interesting and moving, and I think the rest will take care of itself usually.
I'm always so impressed by what you do with the production in the studio. Like, there's so many interesting things happening just beyond the song, which, you know, the songs could have stood on their own. They're strong enough, and it almost makes them so much more layered. And I mean, on that sort of concept that you're talking about there with songwriting, and I'll say pop songwriting in the terms of very popular type of songs, There are several songs on this record, and there's probably plenty of songs if I really think about it, but there's several songs on this record that feel like they could be completely big hit pop songs by, you know, new artists today, you know, with just a little bit of dressings and clothing and however you dress up, you know, a brand new song. And it's kind of, you know, made me wonder about the question, does pop songwriting really ever change when you get to the root of it?
Well, I think, you know, at the root of it, a good song is a good song. Perhaps the idea of what a song is has changed in some ways, certainly. It doesn't really apply to us. But if you look at what hip hop and rap has done in terms of, in some cases, subverting melody as the focal point, I think there is no right or wrong, obviously. And that's part of the beauty of things evolving and changing in art. But, you know, that has sort of inverted the way people listen to music, because I think they're listening to the edges that you spoke of, you know, the dressing, the way something is couched, as much as they're listening to the center, which used to be the melody and still is. But sometimes melody, you know, takes a backseat to those other things. In our case, I think it's still about the basic pop form as we've known it for actually many years. And you're right. I don't think that has changed a great deal.
And finding a collaborator, I mean, first off, the nice surprise of finding that your next collaborator is the person that you've been sort of standing next to for half your life. I mean, that's got to be welcome.
Well, it was certainly a surprise, and we didn't see it coming. Once Christine reached out and wanted to rejoin the ranks after a 15-year break from Fleetwood Mac, and after she was, you know, obviously welcomed back, she started sending me bits and pieces of songs because she wanted to reconnect with her writing. And I started working on those at my house. She was in England. I was in Los Angeles. And yeah, I mean, we didn't really think about, oh, let's make a duet album. We just got in the studio and looked into these ideas. And I think the big surprise was that our dynamic and our sense of rapport with each other, while in most cases after a break like that, you might think people would lose the moment and would lose the context and the musical vocabulary they once had, ours was better than ever. And I think it was because, you know, she had taken that break and she was a different person. And I had certainly spent those 15 years doing a great deal of solo work, and I had spent, you know, I started a family late. So I was doing things, we were both doing things very much on our own terms. And when we came back together, it was just such a beautiful surprise that this unity and this rapport was actually better than it had ever been. Who would have thought that, right?
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lindsay Buckingham.
I mean, I know a lot of fans are, of course, having a problem that this is just not called Fleetwood Mac, and I'm sure it's well-worn territory right now, but what was the reason? Why isn't this called Fleetwood Mac?
Well, I mean, it is true that John McVie and Mick Fleetwood are playing on not all of it, but a great deal of it. But, you know, when Christine and I decided to go in the studio, it was just preceding the beginning of rehearsals for the last tour we did in 2014 and 15. And we were not, there was no agenda to make a Fleetwood Mac album. I had done the bulk of work on the songs of mine that are on this album about a year and a half before that, and I'd put them on the shelf thinking those were going to be part of a solo album. And ironically, John and Mick had played on those as well. But our motivation for going in the studio wasn't that there was any agenda to make any particular thing. It's probably fair to say that no one was saying, oh, this can't be a Fleetwood Mac album, but it just wasn't on anybody's lips. We were really just wanting to create a situation that had the gesture of welcoming her back in, not just to the rehearsal hall, but into the studio, since she was so interested in reconnecting with her creative muse on that level. And she and I had done so much back and forth communicating from England to Los Angeles over some of these new songs she had. And so what happened was we got in the studio, and literally within 3 or 4 days, it just blew our minds because our rapport was better than ever in the studio. And, you know, if anyone in the back of their mind thought that this was possibly going to turn into a Fleetwood Mac album, Christine and I got very protective over the idea of it being a duet album, because that seemed to be the life that it had. It seemed to be the context that was speaking to us from this rapport that we were experiencing that was better than ever. So it just, the idea of it being what it was, which is a duet album, was something that really spoke to us and took on a life of its own.
And while your songs, I mean, both your songs seem quite personal to you, there are moments in here where it actually does seem like a lot of the album is sort of about celebrating her coming back, even unintentionally, and maybe that's in some of the song titles and stuff like that. And I didn't know if that was on purpose or something that just was sort of a happy accident.
Well, I think it probably is in terms of the songs that she's writing the lyrics on. I think it's very much about taking this 15-year journey away from the music business and then coming full circle back around. And there is that sense, that kind of a karmic sense to her songs. In the case of my material, I was really just writing about my own experiences. I was writing about family life. I was certainly, you know, every once in a while, something having to do with the band, Fleetwood Mac would get in there. But, you know, if anything sort of coheres with that overall idea of a return, I think it was, as you say, somewhat coincidental and maybe just a little bit of fate working its way in there.
And it ends with, I guess I was reading some of the press quotes of you talking about the songs, and it talks about that last song, and you said, "We end our album with a new beginning," and which I love that. And I was kind of wondering, I mean, do you see what the next chapter looks like yet? Has that started to form somewhere in the distance?
Well, here's what I'll tell you, is that we, you know, we didn't see the album itself coming until it spoke to us as in terms of what it wanted to be, and we followed that. The next step was, okay, we're going to tour this, I guess. And then there was a big question, is Christine going to take to this kind of touring, you know? Is she going to be comfortable out there on a smaller scale? Is she going to be comfortable away from her bandmates that she's known all these years? Is she going to be comfortable doing something a little more risky and a little more out of her comfort zone? And nobody really knew that, including her. Well, as it turns out, again, you know, it's been a revelation to her, because we take a lot of the approaches that maybe I've done on solo tours, where you're able to really work the art a little bit more. You can take more risks. You can put more of the present out there and not rely so much on the past. And so it turns out that she got all of that and she loved it and the sense of family that's out there with a smaller scale thing. So that led to more dates. And I think it also leads us to think that we probably want to do this whole thing again. I believe there are a few things that will happen in between. I have a solo album that's probably going to come out at the beginning of next year, March probably. There is another Fleetwood Mac tour that's on the books, or it's not on the books yet, but we're talking about it for the end of 2018 beginning. And I think probably during all of that time, Christine and I will be working on new material for another one of these, because I think it's something new that we found. I don't think either one of us sees it as just a one-off. I think it's something to be valued and to be looked at as something a little bit more long-term.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lindsay Buckingham.
Has a lot of exciting things in there to unpack. I can't wait to hear that solo record as well. And another one, again, Lindsay, I loved this record so much that it really is exciting to hear that you guys are already thinking about doing a next one up to it. So thanks for all that. I know it's always so much fun to discuss something and talk about something that was so easy and then you have to dissect it. So
yes, you forced me to think about things, you know, but that's what it's all about, right? Well,
I appreciate it. And again, we're looking forward to having you here in Louisville in just about another week or so.
Oh,
so
looking forward to it as well.
All right. Well, we'll see you then, Lindsay, and thanks again. Take care.
All right. Take care.
My thanks to Lindsay Buckingham, and my thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here to get interviews like this sent your way 3 times a week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can do it at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, please do give the series a rating and a review while you're at it. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes features some classics and favorites from Carly Simon, Dusty Springfield, Soccer Mommy, Phantom Planet, The Cure, Talk Talk, Paul Westerberg, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Silverchair, Noah Kahan, Sun Little, Sun Volt, and my interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.